Do you like movies? Then Netflix is the place for you. Would you like to support this podcast? Use the red stamp-shaped Netflix affiliate banner link in the show notes at truckertompodcast.com for a free trial and instantly begin streaming movies right to your computer or TV set-top box. Tango Tango Papa 1384, July 26, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from the same pilot truck stop I was at last night, here at, I don't remember the name of the little town, but it's south of, my mind just went blank, Decatur, Alabama, kind of south of the Decatur, Alabama area. I went to bed, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, and then, I woke up, I don't know, early and looked at my Qualcomm, and there was nothing, and so I think I had the volume turned up so that it would, I would hear it if it went off, and it never did go off, and it hasn't gone off all day, so, still waiting. I don't know. Probably I'm assuming they're waiting on loads that will maybe get me home, because I was supposed to be home today, the 25th, but obviously that didn't happen. And so that that may be what they're waiting on. In the night, weekend people maybe just didn't want to deal with it. I don't know. So in any case, tomorrow, which is actually today now, being Monday, chances are they're going to send something fairly early, even if it doesn't go to Arkansas. So we'll just have to wait and see how that works out. But I will continue to remind them that I was due home on the 25th, and, the very worst, the longest that it's ever taken them was about 5 or 6 days past the date I wanted to be home to finally get me home. So I'll just continue to remind them, and eventually they will get me home. So anyway, I woke up, I guess I got up around 2 o'clock this afternoon. And then, kind of spent quite a bit of time on the computer. I don't know what was going on. Last night I had fairly decent internet connectivity, especially through the Verizon Air Card, formerly Altel. Somewhat slower connectivity through my, through Sprint, through my phone, through the Wi-Fi hotspot, but it was okay. Then something happened overnight. I don't know what happened today, but the Verizon now is only connecting at 1x, so the 3G the Verizon 3G connectivity here at this where I'm at right now seems to have gone away. So I don't know if something happened to the cell side or who knows what happened, but all it would do is connect at 1x. And and during the day, the phone connectivity was actually slower, and then this evening, now like right now, I connected the computer back to the hotspot, on the phone, and it's back up to what it was last night, but the Verizon Air Card, which I just turned off probably about a half an hour ago, all it would do is 1x, even though last night it was giving me really good performance. You know, the 3G performance, it was doing really well, and so I don't know what happened, but you just never know about connectivity, and especially when you're parked in one place. It just really kind of depends on the cell tower that you're, your tower or towers that you're connecting to, because sometimes you can roam when you're in a stationary location. Roaming often does take place. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. That's why the, if you ever look at your phone and you're just looking at the display, even if you're, if you, whether you're on a call or not, you have anything going on, you can watch, and sometimes the bars will fluctuate with, you know, even if you're not talking on it, you can watch the bars kind of go up and down, and what's happening when it's doing that is roaming from tower to tower. So, not sure what happened, but, so in any case, I posted this article that I wrote today, this afternoon, on Geek News Central. You know, and I was kind of the title of it was does the cloud, you know, meaning cloud computing, have a dark side? And so I kind of mentioned you know, the connectivity problem, and it kind of varies. It just depends on the time of day, because, you know, one of the things that can affect speeds on mobile, you know, on your phone, or what kind of data performance you're going to get out of it, is how many other people are using it. And you know, one of the things that I mentioned in this article, there's this, you know, because I've talked about how, you know, there's this smartphone tsunami that's really underway now in earnest, you know, with all these people wanting smartphones, and of course the phone companies have been pushing smartphones, but you know, the indications are that with these new Android devices, as they've already found out with the iPhone, someone gets just an Android device in particular. You know, I've heard that there's upwards of a fivefold increase in the amount of data that the average person uses. That's not even somebody that uses a lot of data. They get one of these smartphones and they start pushing, you know, surprise, surprise, they start taking advantage of all the easy-to-use features and Facebook, and they can watch videos and do all kinds of nifty things with these pocket computers we call smartphones, and they start chewing through data. And so I'm wondering, with this tsunami of smartphones that's really underway at this point, will the networks be able to handle it? What will happen, you know, is everything going to end up moving to a crawl, like it has in some cities with the AT&T and the iPhone? That's a possibility, you know. So that's, you know, I just kind of mentioned that as one thing. And then another thing is, you know, the government, you know, they've tried to, I don't know if they've passed a law. I'm sure they probably have. We've got basically a Democrat Party dictatorship at this point between President Obama and the Democrats that run Congress. So they, you know, they were going to pass this law that gives the president, Obama, in this case, he can just, you know, whenever they decide, they can just say, hey, we've got a cyber emergency, cyber attack, we're going to turn the internet off for up to 4 months. Well, if all your documents are on Google Docs, you got everything in the cloud, and you just kind of use your computer as an internet appliance, well, then what happens to you? How are you going to get access to your documents? And then another point that I made in this article, I don't, you know, other people have made the point, but I don't think they really seriously think about it, is with these e-books. We'll talk about e-books in a minute, Amazon Kindle. With these e-books, what's to stop, you know, the government, they could just say, well, this book is no longer allowed, and even though you've bought it, just delete it off your device. Or they just delete it and say, sorry, here's a voucher, it doesn't exist anymore. Or even more sinister, what if they, you know, force them to revise it? And so they want to, you know, the government says, oh, you got to take these parts out, they're, we don't allow that. And so they rewrite it, or they omit parts of it. And even after you've bought it and you've got it on, let's say you've got it on your Kindle, or it's on your computer, or even on your phone, like in the Kindle reader, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. All of a sudden, it's, you know, they give you the different version, and it's like the other version didn't exist. It's kind of like 1984, the George Orwell book, you know, where, you know, this guy's job is to, I think his name is Emmanuel Goldstein, I think that's what it is, but in any case, his job is to, you know, as the government in this 1984 England, you know, this George Orwell novel about Big Brother, this guy's job is to, you know, when the government says, oh, this has changed, you know, they revise you know, they come out with the actual statistics on production, and so his job is to go back, or let's say someone's, they get rid of somebody or something, his job is to go back and revise those articles, and just, you know, and he takes the original, and it goes into the, you know, into this memory hole, which is a fire, you know, it's just, he opens a little thing up in the wall, and just drops it in there, and it burns up. And, you know, so electronically, you know, now, of course, there's all kinds of problems with that, you know, but it could be done. So that's another thing, you know, revision of, it's very easy to revise things, revise history, if everything's electronic, especially. So that was another point that I kind of made in this article, but... anyway, some days ago I downloaded the Kindle app for Android, and so I was, Ron Stroop called me this evening, and, you know, I was chit-chatting with him. Ron Stroop and his family are actually taking a few days, and they're in Branson, Missouri, and he was kind of calling me from wherever, I don't know, some resort they were staying at, but so in any case, he kind of, you know, he talked about the Kindle, and... that kind of reminded me I had the application on my phone. So I went ahead, I went on Amazon.com. He had mentioned that they had some free stuff you could download. And so I went on Amazon.com and I was kind of poking around in the free book section, you know, or in the Kindle section. And they kind of mix the free ones with the paid ones. And, you know, a lot of them are $9.99, some of them are $4.99. You know, they're just different prices. And they kind of mix the pre-1922 books in with that have been put into Kindle format, because the pre-1922, they have no copyright and, you know, everything's expired on them. So they're basically public domain. And, so I downloaded a number of those, and you know, I was kind of checking out the Kindle application, and then I ended up actually buying a book on Amazon, you know, just because, you know, the ones that I checked out, it actually, you know, the Kindle application on the Android phone on this HTC Evo actually works pretty well. You know, it's pretty readable, and you can just kind of read through it pretty fast, so that actually works. I'm kind of impressed with that. Now, obviously, on my phone, I don't know if I'd want to read for hours and hours, because it would run the battery down pretty quick. You know, I could probably go for 2 or 3 hours before it killed the battery, but you know. You know, and then there's also a Kindle version for Windows and a Kindle version for OS X, which I downloaded that and put it on my computer. And then the nice thing about the Kindle, and the Kindle books is, you know, and I don't even have an Amazon Kindle, you know, the device itself, but the nice thing about it, they've made a Kindle version for at least Windows and OS X, plus the iPad, plus the iPod Touch, you know, plus if you actually have a Kindle, which Ron Stroop and his wife both have one of those, you've got all these different devices. You can sync it, you know, each each thing is considered its own device, and so you just sync what you've bought or what you've, you know, what you've said you wanted, even the free books, to the installation, whether it's an actual Kindle or if it's your Android phone or your computer, and you sync it to that, and then you can kind of read through. So I've sort of read through some of the stuff on my phone, and then you just add a bookmark so that it, when you open that back up again, it just takes you right to where you left off. Well, the neat thing about it is that it syncs across all devices. So if I open the same thing up on my computer, it's going to start right where I left off on the other, you know, on my phone. And, you know, Amazon, as long as you put in obviously your email address and your password for your Amazon account, it will just automatically sync across everything. And that's actually a very good way to do it. Because, you know, try that with iTunes and see how far you get. You don't. You download the thing to your, you know, it's downloaded to your, you as far as the music goes, you buy on iTunes or videos, or now I don't know if it applies to their books or not, but you download the stuff and to whatever installation, you know, let's say it's, you download it to your computer. Well, sorry, that's just where it's at. It's on your computer, or if you can buy, if you bought something on your iPod Touch or your even your iPad, I think it downloads to the device, and then it doesn't replicate itself across your other installations and your other iTunes devices. And so the Kindle, I like that, the way they've done that. So if I had, you know, even if I had an iPad, I think I would think twice about buying a book from the iTunes store. Now, of course, they don't have a very good selection from what Ron Stroop was telling me, but nothing compared to what Amazon's got. But you can buy, you know, just whether you haven't, you know, you got your iPod Touch, well, you got the Kindle application for the iPod Touch, and you simply buy the, you know, if you want the ebook, you buy it from Amazon, and you read it right on your iPad or iPod Touch or computer or whatever. And so that actually works. I was kind of impressed with that. And that's kind of a neat thing that they have going there. And they were Amazon smart, not pushing, you know, they're not pushing people to have the Kindle. They're just saying, hey, you know, here's the Kindle reader. This is, you buy the books in the Kindle format, and they automatically go, you know, once you've put in your email address and password, it automatically syncs to, you know, to that particular installation, and you can read all of the stuff that you purchased right there. So that's pretty cool. And so I think even if I had an iPad, which I don't, I would probably buy the stuff, you know, unless there was just some specific book that you could get that you really wanted and it was only available in iTunes, I would probably buy it on Amazon. And then the other thing, you know, and use the Kindle application to read it on the iPad or iPod Touch. And, you know, and the other thing is that they actually keep a, you know, the stuff that you've actually purchased, the books that you've actually purchased, the ebooks, are automatically, they're associated with your account so that they're just in there. So let's say you lose your iPad or something happens to it, or something happens to your iPod, or something happens, let's say something happens to my phone, or something happens to my computer. Well, these ebooks that you buy from Amazon are automatically associated with your account. So you just have another Kindle device or Kindle installation, and you just put your username and which is your email address and your password in there, and you're back in business again, and you've got all your stuff. Try that with iTunes. You can't. Even though they obviously, Apple has a list of everything you've ever bought through iTunes, they only allow you to download it once generally. And So if something happens to your computer, your hard drive crashes, something happens to the device that you've, you know, your iPod, and you don't have it backed up, sorry, Charlie, you're out of luck. So I kind of like the way Amazon's handling the ebooks. Now, I don't know if they do the same thing. I've never bought music from Amazon, so I don't know how they handle that. I would assume that they would do it the same way they're doing the ebooks. That, you know, maybe that's a bad assumption. I don't know. But so in any case, the Amazon, you know, the Kindle thing is kind of interesting. It's a very interesting way of reading, you know, getting and reading books. And then the other neat thing is you don't you've got it with you wherever you're at, especially like in my case, I've got it on my phone. So when I went in there this evening after I bought that, I sat in the truck and read for a while, and then I went inside just a while ago and back into that Wendy's in there and got something to eat. And so, you know, my phone has a little kickstand on it, so you can actually set it on its side and with that little kickstand out, and it'll just kind of sit there like a sort of like a, you know, sort of like a screen with a kickstand. You know, it's just kind of sitting there at an angle. And so I was able to, you know, just like a kind of like a desktop clock or something. So I had it on there, and I was able to just set it there, and I was reading as I was eating. And, you know, in order to advance it, you just touch the right side of the screen, and it automatically advances to the next, you know, to the next page. It slides to the left. So then you can, you know, just keep reading through it. And so that actually works pretty well. So I'm kind of impressed with that. And, you know, and especially with the ability that you've actually got it there in your pocket, you know, and you can, you know, you can just read right wherever you're at whenever you have time. And so that's actually pretty handy, really. I don't know if I'd buy an actual Kindle device, but don't really need it. I've got my phone, and I don't think I'd be carrying a Kindle, you know, the bigger Kindle device around with me, nor would I be carrying an iPod around with me. But certainly I do carry my phone around with me, and it's got a big enough and a nice enough screen that it's pretty easy to, you know, it's an easy experience to read on. So I can see myself buying more Amazon Kindle ebooks in the future, you know, if I find something that I want, that I'm not going to get the Audible audiobook version of. So so I don't know, that's kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, now one other thing before we're going to go into the movie, the top 10 movies here in just a bit. I was, you know, of course I got rid of my Dish Network, you know, and so once I make it home, I've got to, you know, Dish Network sent the packages, you know, the packing material, basically cardboard boxes. They sent them to me to pack this stuff up, and I've got it, you know, I've got 30 days from when it canceled, and so it canceled on the 10th, so I've got to, you know, I still got a few days left, you know, once I make it home. That's the first thing I'm going to do is package those Dish Network receivers up and you know, send them off. But, excuse me, so in any case, I was looking for over-the-air DVRs, and it you know, there aren't many. There are some, but there just aren't many over-the-air digital video recorders. And so I was kind of poking around on Amazon, and I came across, there's a couple of different options, actually. There's this something called a Moxie, and I've heard people talk about the Moxie a little bit, M-O-X-I. It's an HD DVR. And I, you know, it's kind of pricey because it's got a like a 500 gigabyte hard drive, but it's got three HD tuners, so you can actually record three programs at the same time on different channels. And then there's one, this other one that's a little less expensive. It's a Channel Master CM7000 PALOTA, which means over the air HDTV receiver with DVR. And there's like a Dish Network version of it, which I don't know if I'd buy that or not, but and then there's this just a Channelmaster branded version. Now, I guess Channelmaster makes both of these, and there's some little difference in the firmware, but they're otherwise pretty much identical. And so I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe I want to buy something like that. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But, you know, that would make it very easy to record over-the-air stuff, and there's a built-in guide that goes about a week, into the future. So that might be, I don't know, I might get something like that. I really don't know if I want to do that or not. I'm still thinking about that, but I was, you know, that sells, let me see what that sells for. Got it. Yeah, there it is. Well, that's a review. I thought I had it on. Yeah, there it is. On Amazon, that's selling for $347.99. So, I don't know. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But that's a possibility. Because it would be nice to be able to record the over-the-air stuff. Now, I can do the same thing with a computer pretty easily. You know, that... You know, the downside with that is you have to leave the computer on when I'm gone. And, you know, which I have no problem with. I usually leave that Mac Mini on. The Mac Mini stays on. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really generate much heat. Now, you know, I can leave that, you know, like that desktop machine. It's a desktop Windows Vista machine that I have. I could leave it on, but... you know, and I have before while I was gone, and it didn't cause any problem, but then again, you know, I don't know. It would be easier just to have a dedicated device, so I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about that. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, now, I don't know. It's just... sometimes, you know, it would be nice to be able to just, you know, pick and choose and say I want to record a program, and then it's right there and you don't have to go through the computer to do it. So, I don't know. We'll see. So, anyway, let's go ahead and jump on into the top 10 box office. So, number one on the list is Inception. I've already played the trailer for Inception, and it looks like it's... This is a movie that looks, you know, I'd actually go to the theater to watch. And, I, you know, when I go home in the next few days, I may make a point of going to see that, actually, in the theater. It's been in release for 2 weeks. It had a weekend total of $43,505,000. It's in 3,792 theaters. The weekend or the screen average was $11,472. The gross to date is $143,663,000. Now, number two on the list is a brand new movie called Salt, and they've been advertising that on billboards. And so, when I first saw these billboards, I thought, you know, it seemed like it was some ad campaign against salt, but then I figured out it was an Angelina Jolie movie. So in any case, it's, you know, it's been in release 1 week. It's the weekend, you know, the amount of money it took was $36,500,000. It's in 3,612 theaters. The theater average take was $10,105, and so, and as I say, it's been in release for 1 week. So here is the trailer for Salt.
You got a walk-in. A defector.
He's Russian.
Neural scan is up.
What's your name?
My name is Vasily Orlov.
Nothing. He doesn't exist.
Today, a Russian agent who traveled to New York City to kill the president. This agent is KA-12.
The KA program is a myth.
Scan says he's truthful.
This guy's selling smoke.
Wrap it up, Bev.
Don't you want to know the name?
You're good.
You can tell the rest of your story to one of my colleagues.
The name of the agent is Evelyn Salt.
My name is Evelyn Salt.
Then you are a Russian spy.
Where'd she go?
What are you doing there?
What are you doing?
It's done, I'm good.
I'm not a Russian spy.
On the ground!
I'm innocent! Somebody is setting me up!
Shut up!
Maybe Salt is who she says she is.
Maybe it's your department. Mine is catching her so we can find out.
Okay, so there was the trailer for Salt, starring Angelina Jolie as, I guess she's kind of like a secret agent, or, I don't know. But anyway, that I don't think I'd go to the theater to watch that. I might, it looks like a kind of a really high-priced action adventure type movie. Really great cinematography, kind of... The trailer sort of reminds me of some of the James Bond, you know, stylistically, the way it was shot, the way the scenes were put together, you know. So, a lot of action sequences. So, I don't know, I'd probably get that one on Blu-ray. And it looks like it's actually, you know, it's kind of a, you know, one of these roller coaster movies that, you know, that's got all these action sequences in it. So, and as I say, it looks like it's very well put together, you know, just looking at the visuals in the trailer. So, probably get that one on Blu-ray at some point. Number three on the list is Despicable Me, which I've already played the trailer for. A weekend take was $24,120,000. It's been in release for 3 weeks. It's in 3,600 theaters. The theater average take was $6,700. Gross to date, it's $161,720,845. Number four on the list is The Sorcerer's Apprentice. The weekend take was $9,685,000. So it's been in release for 2 weeks. It's in 3,504 theaters, and the theater average was $2,763. The gross to date is $42,643,000. Number five on the list is Toy Story 3. It had a take this week of $9,030,000. It's been in release for 6 weeks. It's in 2,766 theaters at this point. The theater average was $3,264. The gross to date is kind of getting up there. It's $379,529,000. Number six on the list is new. It's called Ramona and Beezus. It had a weekend take of $8 million. It's been in release, as I say, for 1 week, 2,719 theaters. The theater average was $2,942. And this kind of looks like a kids movie. It's kind of aimed at kids, it looks like, in particular young girls. So anyway, here is the trailer for Ramona and Beezus.
The beloved classic series by Beverly Cleary.
Ramona!
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 She keeps you on your toes.
You are so welcome to borrow her for the next, like, 10 years or so.
Is coming to the big screen.
I hope you are enjoying third grade. I think you may be here a while.
And if you think you know Ramona, get ready to see her in a whole new light.
Ramona, you're your own person.
You don't worry about coloring inside the lines.
really depends on the picture.
This summer, imagination runs wild. Adventure runs free. And wonder runs in the family.
Why don't we draw the longest picture in the world?
Every princess needs a little sparkle.
Joey King, Selena Gomez, John Corbett, Bridget Moynihan, Jennifer Goodwin, Josh Duhamel, Sandra Oh. Ramona and Beezus.
We saw your underpants.
Directed by Elizabeth Allen.
Okay, so that is the trailer for Ramona and Beezus, and I'd say that's kind of a chick flick, except it's for a chick flick for young girls. Do they have a name for that? I don't know. You know, female teeny bopper type of movie, I guess. Number 7 on the list is Grown Ups. It had a take this week of $7,600,000. It's been in release for 5 weeks. It's in 2,859 theaters. The theater average was $2,658. And the gross to date is $142,412,000. Number 8 on the list is The Twilight Saga Eclipse. It had a take this week of $7,033,000. It's been in release for 4 weeks. It's in 3,121 theaters. The theater average was $2,253, and the gross to date is $279,674,092. Number 9 on the list is The Last Airbender. It had a take this week of $4,173,000. It's been in release for 4 weeks. It's in 2,127 theaters. Theater average was $1,961. The gross to date is $123,264,000. And finally, number 10 on the list is Predators. It had a week, take this week of $2,850,000. It's been in release for 3 weeks. It's in 1,846 theaters. The theater average was $1,543. And gross to date is $46,568,425. And I'd say that it's probably getting ready to drop off of the radar, off of the top 10. So, but out of all of these, the only one that I actually want to see based on the trailer in the theater is probably Inception. And, you know, from what I've read about it. And then Salt, definitely probably want to see that on Blu-ray, because it, you know, it's got some stunning visuals. I don't know about the storyline. It's you know, this female spy, Angelina Jolie, really good-looking female spy that, you know, this Russian guy is accusing her of being a spy. And, you know, I kind of get the impression, well, if she is, she's brainwashed and she doesn't know it. So it could be interesting, you know, kind of maybe interesting, possibly. Some of these other ones obviously will show up in streaming on Netflix at some point. And so I'm, you know, some of the other ones I might get, you know, if there's a Blu-ray version, I might get that, but get it. But, you know. You know, some of these just aren't that appealing, and you know, so once they're on Netflix, then hey, I'm in business. Because then if I watch something and I decide I don't like it, it's not worth my time, hey, all I gotta do is just skip out of it and go to something that I am interested in watching. So In any case, that was the top 10 box office for this week. So, as I say, I don't know, if hopefully sometime in the next day or two or three they'll get me home. I'm kind of ready to go home and take a break, get away from the truck for a few days. And so we'll just have to, as I say, I'll just have to keep kind of reminding them, as I have. I've been reminding them every time I send a loaded message and an empty message. I'm reminding them that, I was due home on the 25th. So they'll get me there, sooner or later they'll get me there. Hopefully sooner than later. And then I can, be home and get away from the truck for a few days and then I'll be ready to come back to work. So, in any case, I probably better be cutting this off. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like 1:54 a.m. And I'm not really tired because I slept. I did sleep until about 2 o'clock. So I don't know, I was probably in bed a total, at least probably upwards of 10 hours. And I slept through most of that. So I'd say between yesterday and today, I'm kind of caught up on my sleep. So even though, I'll get to bed probably sometime within the next 2 hours. Even if I do, they send a load early, like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I have to get up, then it shouldn't be any problem, because I am pretty well caught up on sleep. So, if I end up having a kind of a short night to kind of get my schedule back in order, should be able to handle it with no problem. So, anyhow, hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.